Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Boy, welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker filling in. I'm looking at some of the messages on the Facebook YouTube feed. And one from Larry said, when you do away with cursive, you can rewrite the history and the kids won't know any better. I have not tried this with AI. If you were to take a cursive letter and put it through AI, would it transcribe it for you properly? I haven't tried that yet. Maybe we should try that.
I don't use any AI. The whole ChatGPT thing, I know many people who love it and use it almost daily, but I've never ventured into that.
I use it occasionally at work when sometimes police agencies will send you press releases as a photo. So stupid. So they could send you a PDF where you can copy and paste it, and so you can, you know, take the parts that you need, but then they'll send you a photo, which leaves you to transcribe it. Not with AI. You can tell AI to take the photo and transcribe it for you, and they'll do it, which is pretty awesome. So I'll use it for applications like that. I don't understand why people use it as a chat alternative because they're lonely. Why do you talk to a computer that way? That's strange to me. So that's what I can't find myself using it for. All right, let's do the shortlist.
The Mark Cox shortlist.
You ruled out a pardon for yourself.
For myself? What would I pardon myself for?
That's what I'm asking.
No, I have no contemplation of pardoning myself for anything. I didn't do anything wrong.
It's so funny. He pardoned like his whole family. So it's not an absurd question. Oh, you're telling me in your entire family, which you've had to pardon because of the wrongdoing, and you did it for the past decade, this big blanket pardon. You're telling me you're the only one in your entire family that's clean? I don't buy it.
His legacy is going to be his final year, in which he was seen to clearly be in cognitive decline and yet wouldn't give up the presidency.
Right. It was described that Joe Biden could have been a statesman, meaning that when all of this started, he could have said, I'm not running for re-election, so we're going to open it up for the next generation. Instead, he didn't. So he was holding on till the bitter end, and it cost the Democrat Party, and I think a lot of people resent him for that. The unfortunate thing is, when they say he's going to be remembered for his final year with cognitive decline, that was his entire presidency. Don't get me wrong. Don't act like there was any year where he was not in cognitive decline.
The opportunity, I think, to rebuild at the same time, and that's why we're already organizing a Marshall Plan. We already have a team looking and reimagining LA 2.0.
You got to be careful how you use the term Marshall, as in Marshall Plan, because when you hear that, you think martial law. And do you want the Gavin Newsoms of the world, the way that they handle things, implementing a martial law on California? I don't think so.
When you're spending all your time worrying about running for president, all the time on the politics, none on the operations and management, this is exactly what happens.
That was Chris Sununu and slamming Gavin Newsom over the wildfires. Can we all agree he's probably got the best last name? Sununu.
Sununu. It is a really great last name.
Fantastic last name. But what we find with these wildfires, there's a lot going on. It's just kind of interesting because, Kim, you brought this up. We're not really paying attention to the drones over New Jersey anymore because the wildfire is over on the other side of the coast. We haven't been paying attention to the immigration issues. I mean, we followed that the Trump administration will do something about it. It's just he doesn't take office till the 20th, and who knows how fast he can get to it. But
bless you.
Excuse me. Thank you. Could you hear that? I put my mic down.
No, I couldn't. I could just see it.
You saw it on camera. Okay. It's like I was hoping you couldn't hear that. But what about some of the other issues that are going on, including some of these issues that include, well, maybe the prosecution of people that maybe didn't deserve to be prosecuted the way they did. So questioning what's going on. Will there be pardons for the January 6th people? And this is kind of an interesting question because you have a wide range of people. You have people that dressed up like they were on the movie Braveheart and, you know, like stormed in a way where they were taking over. You had people that were breaking into offices and like taking mementos and putting their feet up. You had people that were just literally walking through and they were obeying the velvet ropes. That was one of the jokes, like, man, these terrorists. Very nice of them to obey the velvet ropes that are, you know, set up inside of some of these chambers that may have got carried away and did something that they weren't supposed to. There's a wide range of people that acted that way. And I think the more we find out about January 6th, we find that it's not just a black and white issue. And, you know, I kind of got caught up in that at first, meaning that I looked at it as a black and white issue, but black and white meaning, you know, clearly you're on 100% or 0%, right? You're on one side or the other. But I see this as a much bigger spectrum of types of crimes that were committed that day. So if someone entered and didn't touch anything and just like walked through and left like it was a gallery to view, then they shouldn't be treated the same as someone that, I don't know, took a fire hydrant and sprayed a police officer or something like that, you know, a fire extinguisher. So one of the big questions is, will there be these pardons that are coming for January 6th? And J.D. Vance answered that question. Can we play clip number 10?
I think it's very simple. Look, if you protested peacefully on January the 6th and you've had Merrick Garland's Department of Justice treat you like a gang member, you should be pardoned. If you committed violence on that day, obviously you shouldn't be pardoned. And there's a little bit of a gray area there, but we're very much committed to seeing the equal administration of law. And there are a lot of people, we think, in the wake of January the 6th who were prosecuted unfairly. We need to rectify that.
Okay, so J.D. Vance's take is, not all crimes were equal on that day, so some were looked at as trespassing, but they may have served time in jail for trespassing. So what do you think of that approach? You think that you take these individual prosecutions and understand that some of them were politically motivated? And when I say politically motivated, charges may have been warranted, but they ratcheted it up by the 10th degree in order to make it worse than it actually was. Then maybe you look at some of those cases and try to right that wrong. You think that's a good plan?
I think J.D. Vance is spot on. I do think you have to look at it case by case. And, you know, people who were just walking in, which was quite a few of them, many of them have already served 3 years in jail with no trial. So I think they should be pardoned. I think Trump's going to do it day one. I think that's going to be first 24 hours what he's going to tackle, along with anything related to the border that he's able to do immediately. And the people who were, you know, reckless and doing other crazy things and hurting police officers, absolutely. Like, those should not be people, in my opinion, who are pardoned. I think that they should be punished accordingly.
I think the tough thing is going to be expungement. If you're going to be able to look at their criminal record and pardon or not, some of them may have been, I guess, sentenced on a state level, so that there's not a lot they can do on the federal side.
True.
So how are you going to expunge them if they were in the same batch of people that did something stupid but were nonviolent? Then I wonder how many of those cases were actually violence. But here's what I think we also find. There's a lot of January 6th that still is not, the government still has not admitted to, that I think wouldn't be a bad idea to fully admit to. So what was the role of federal agents during that time? And perhaps were they some of them that were dispersed inside the crowd? I don't think we know all of the full take of what's going on. And that does play a factor, I think, when it comes to fair trials, if you're hiding some of the things that happen on that day. I don't think it's going to be super controversial by the time they take office and they look at some of these. Now, I understand that a lot of Democrats will look at it as super controversial. And, you know, that's an understandable stance on that. I think all things considered, when you talk about someone that did something dumb in a nonviolent way and trying to say, okay, you've had enough punishment at this point, like you've been over-prosecuted, that's fair. I also think that there's a lot of under-prosecution that goes on in some of these other cities, like Minneapolis and some of these cities that burnt down and people that acted far worse than any of these January 6 people that didn't even get a consideration from the Justice Department when it came to prosecution. So I think there's definitely an unequal treatment in application when it comes to the law. And that has to play a factor in part of the discussion, too. So if all things set aside, then why are some of these people not even considered for prosecution while others were basically not even to the full extent of the law, above and beyond the full extent of the law? So that's part of it. All right. When we come back, real or fake news? I love this. Carl, you put this together, don't you? This is exciting.
Usually.
I'm excited to see it. I'm Ryan Recker filling in. Don't go anywhere on the Mark Cox Morning Show. 97.1 FM Talk.
We are fighting the fake news.
Real or fake?
Fake. Phony. Fake.
News quiz.
It is time for the real or fake news quiz. The first one of the year. My name is Carl, and every week at this time, we go through these headlines that I have. I've written some of them, and some of them I've taken from news sources. And I ask the people in the studio if they are real or if they are fake. Mark Cox is not here today, so Ryan Recker, who is hosting today, because Mark Cox is in Jefferson City for the inaugurations, he is going to be playing. Now, Ryan, you get to go first because I think Mark won last time. Which was last year. And, oh, major announcement. Starting next week. No, next week's the inauguration. Mark's going to be in D.C. for that. The week after that, in 2 weeks, we're going to have a major announcement about what the winner of the week's real or fake will actually win. There will be some stakes.
Wait, hold on. It starts after this one?
Yeah.
I could go for an steak. I know you don't mean it that way. But if you want to give me a steak, I'll take it.
if you win today, I will start it next week. But I do not think you're going to win today because the first thing we're going to do today, you are at a major disadvantage because this is something that we talked about on the show last week. Ryan Recker, real or fake? My car fixed itself.
Fake.
Kim St. Ange.
I don't even know what you're talking about, so real.
Ethan Bright.
I'm going to go real.
It's real. So last week, Mark and I drove to Jefferson City for the first day of session. And yeah, you're at a disadvantage, like I already told you. And I drove into a rest stop, and it seems a piece of ice wedged underneath my car and dislodged something from the muffler. And then when that piece of ice melted, it fixed itself. So
that's
Mark,
not fixing itself.
Well, we talked about this on the air, and Mark's like, I said, maybe my car will fix itself. And Mark said, I really doubt that. So thanks to Eric and Michelle from St. Louis Hills Auto Service, because they're like, I don't know what's wrong with your car, but it's not wrong anymore. So
car's an Autobot. Just fixes
it
itself.
It fixed itself. So Ryan is down one already.
I'm already calling shenanigans on this.
Welcome to my life, Ryan.
Kim St. Ange, real or fake? An elderly woman says Star Trek vanity plates got her thousands of dollars in speeding tickets. Real or fake?
Sure, real.
Ethan Bright.
I'm going to go real.
Ryan
Recker. That's real. I'm sure it's real.
It is real. She doesn't even have the car nor the plates anymore. But other people bought fake vanity plates, you know, like you can buy like at a gas station that have the Enterprise number on it. But she was the last person to have these plates for real. And so every time somebody got a camera taken of that license plate, she's the only last person to have that number. So she got thousands of dollars. And every time she has to call and says, I don't have these plates anymore, it's novelty plates.
That's rough.
Sorry. What an inconvenience. I feel bad for this lady. Because good luck trying to reach anyone over and over and over again.
True.
Yeah.
And that's why you shouldn't get Star Trek things. You should only get Star Wars things.
Okay.
Ethan Bright. Real or fake, Chick-fil-A has enlisted an army of robots to save 10,000 hours of work stirring their sauces. Real
or fake? True.
Ryan Recker.
You're not getting robots at Chick-fil-A. False.
I say fake.
It is fake. But
they've got robots.
They've got robots squeezing lemons in their factories.
Oh. I knew it was something. I saw the headline.
See? They're squeezing lemons in their factories, and then they're shipping those out to their affiliates.
Just don't have robots taking my order. Next, client. Isn't that what they call us? Clients? What do they call us? We're not customers at Chick-fil-A.
Guests.
Next guest. Yes. Next guest.
Yeah. So polite.
Ryan Recker, real or fake? Porsche's best-selling vehicle is an SUV.
Oh, false.
Kim Sainach.
True. Real.
Real or fake, Ethan?
I think real.
It is real. Ah. It is the Cayenne SUV, according to last year's numbers.
Like the Pepper?
Yes.
Yes.
What?
Because when you're driving a Porsche or a Porsche, you're hot.
And spicy.
So an SUV is their number one seller now? That surprises
me. If you've got money to buy one of those cars, you're going to spend the money to get the best one, right? I don't even know if that's the best one or not. Kim Sainage, real or fake? Your plant hates your sourdough starter and it's killing itself.
Sure, real.
Ethan Bright.
I'm going to go fake.
Yeah, I'll say fake on this too.
It's fake. I made that one up. All right, we have a tie. Right.
I don't even know what you said. What that didn't translate in my mind. I have no idea what you meant by that.
Okay. I'm sorry. Real or fake, Ethan Bright, this is to you. The Scrabble champion in Spain is also the Scrabble champion in France. Real or fake?
Sure, why not? True.
Ryan Recker.
I'll say true.
Real.
That is real.
Oh.
You're supposed to say fake, Kim.
Hey, you got to go first.
Ryan Recker. The Scrabble champion in Spain and France doesn't speak French nor Spanish. Real or fake?
You know, I'll say real.
Kim Sainange.
Real.
I'm going to go real.
It's real. He studies the dictionary for 9 weeks, comes in, and just blows everybody away. And then doesn't speak French nor Spanish.
Wow.
Nerd alert. Study the dictionary.
Kim Sainage, real or fake? China has more than 1,000 robots per 10,000 employees.
Sure, real.
Ethan Bright.
I'll just say fake to end it.
Ryan Recker.
I'll say fake. You know how many people they have in China? Thanks.
Winning. Our first winner of the year is Ethan Bright. It's fake. They have 470 robots per 10,000 people, Kim.
What? Oh, per 10,000?
Yeah, per 10,000.
Good job, Ethan.
Yeah, because he's not giving out a prize this week, so that's why I won.
That's fine. You can take the win then. I want the steak.
Hey, Tom Ackerman owes you a steak, and he'll be up in an hour.
Oh, great transitioning. Thank Carl, you. Good work by that. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Cox, who is in Jefferson City today with all the important people, because he is important people. It would just make perfect sense for him to be there. Last day of Governor Mike Parson. The passing of the torch happens today. And this is another song you think, Carl, that they're going to play on his way
out? No.
I think that's the theme, right? It's walkout music.
No.
No?
No, not for that. No.
I don't know what that song is, actually. So
it's Rough Boys by Pete Townsend.
Wouldn't it be funny though if these elected leaders like Mike Kehoe and David Wassinger got to pick walkout music?
Yeah.
Can you just imagine that?
That would be pretty awesome.
We are the champions, and now the incoming governor, Mike Kehoe.
Pyrotechnics and everything.
And next week, Mark Cox will be in Washington, D.C.
Another inauguration. Well, that's pretty exciting. He is all over the place, isn't he? He's living his best political life right now.
He really is. He nerds out on this stuff. I mean, I do too, but he takes the nerdiness to a whole new level.
Like people that take off for Comic-Con, he takes off for inauguration.
It's so true. This is his Super Bowl.
It's his Super Bowl, yeah. He's traveling to see the big game. There was an article on Newsbusters written by Ben Shapiro. Here's the article. The age of censorship is ending. So he gave a couple of different examples. In 2019, Zuckerberg himself responded in an excellent speech at Georgetown University, pledging this company to free speech. But then in 2020, Facebook began to cave under pressure from the federal government on issues ranging from COVID coverage of the Hunter Biden laptop. By 2021, the White House was openly lobbying Facebook to change its standard to downgrade traffic of the Daily Wire, among others. And then he gives all kinds of other examples of where you saw the political pressures of Facebook to bow down and do exactly what the government said you should do. There was a podcast just recently that Mark Zuckerberg was on. I think it was Joe Rogan, where he was talking about exactly what happened in one of those instances. Can we play clip number 8? This will give a better
illustration when they were trying to roll out the vaccine program. And now I'm generally like pretty pro rolling out vaccines. I think on balance, the vaccines are more positive than negative, but I think that while they're trying to push that program, they also tried to censor anyone who is basically arguing against it. And they pushed us super hard to take down things that were honestly were true, right? I mean, they basically pushed us and said, you know, anything that says that vaccines might have side effects, you basically need to take down. And I was just like, well, we're not going to do that. Like, we're clearly not going to do that. I mean, that is kind of inarguably
who is
true.
Who is they? Who's telling you to take down things that talk about vaccine side effects?
It was people in the Biden administration. I think it was, you know, I wasn't involved in those conversations directly, but I think it was.
Just we'll stop it there. But it was people in the Biden administration. So I think that's important to point out. Some people will mention, well, you know, some of the censorship happened under Donald Trump. Well, Mark Zuckerberg with Facebook specifically pointed out within the Biden administration. So keep in mind that even before he took office, they already had hands into the pot there to try to manipulate social media in a way that would be favorable for them and their candidate in the future. So, Kim, the age of censorship is ending. I heard one person, it was like a YouTube commentary, say that it's not because he believes censorship is bad. It's because he realizes it's worse to be in bad graces with the federal government. So that's why they're acting the way they're acting right now. Do you think the age of censorship is over?
No, I think it'll get better under Donald Trump because he won't put up with it and he won't be doing shady things like clearly the Biden administration was doing and asking these big tech companies like Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, to censor people, even if they suggest that there's a side effect from a vaccine, which is just ridiculous. But I think people will still find a way to do this. I think that Elon Musk taking over X was probably one of the best things to happen. I've heard, obviously, we don't know what's going to happen with TikTok. You know, Trump was against it for a while and then he's kind of been for it. I think it's because he really used it for his campaign and it was effective in reaching a lot of the younger voters. And a lot of people make their living off of it. But I have serious concerns about its ties with China and just other security issues. But wasn't it Mr. Wonderful who had said that he was willing or had the money ready to go to buy TikTok? That would be big, too, because Kevin O'Leary has come out and has said some things that I'm like, yeah, you're very logical. Like, I agree with that. In comparison to, Mark Cuban, who's wackadoodle, in my opinion. Like him as a personality on Shark Tank, the guy's politics, he's off his rocker.
Right. I would go back, and you're right about the income loss that some of these creators on TikTok are afraid of. It would be almost like your local drug dealer saying that, hey, if you make these drugs illegal or you start cracking down on them, I'm going to lose my income. So you can't take away my livelihood. TikTok ties to China are a dangerous national security threat. There's a reason why the federal government banned their own workers from having these on their work phones, because they understood the likelihood of the data being stolen going back to China was so high that they could not take that risk. So I think it's also very telling that TikTok, as opposed to selling its share, decided to close up shop, because I think their only purpose is not to spread dance videos. Their main purpose is to steal information and then use it against people, particularly American citizens, or steal the information that they're propagating between it, or who knows what else they're doing on some of these devices when it comes to spying and sensitive information that is not meant to be shared is being now collected by the Chinese government. That's a very scary probability. So, yes, I would think that the age of censorship, meaning that tech companies are starting to reconcile their mistakes of the past and finding new ways to handle it, is a step in the right direction. I don't know if you'll ever get a full anti-censorship anything when it comes to social media, because Elon Musk, being on the forefront of this, someone that was a proponent of it, still censors a little bit on Twitter. Not a lot, but still a little. And by relative to all the other social media platforms, it's practically nothing compared to the rest of them. But still, there's a little bit. So if the guy that's the champion of it still does it a little bit, then I'm guessing you'll never get to a full anti-censorship on any social media platform.
What's Musk known for censoring?
I think that when you go on social media, the thing that he's most criticized for is if there's competition to one of his own things, that he censors it. Like, there's been accounts that he's suspended that were like, I'll give you a great example of it. The guy that owned, what was it? I can't remember the Twitter account. But essentially, if you're in competition with Elon Musk, there's a high probabilityhood.
His plane. The one that was tracking his plane.
Plane's a different example. He shut that one down. No, there's a couple of examples. And I wasn't thinking of that one. And I think that when you're on Twitter, that if you find yourself like sharing videos or sharing content, it's very likely you're going to be allowed to do that. There's not going to be any censorship of that. But if you do something that Elon Musk doesn't like, I think there is a likelihood that you're not going to get a defense for it to stay up.
Yeah, that's a little weird that he was doing that. If it's just a matter of, well, your competition and you're trying to do this or trying to do that. Now, they were tracking his plane. That is a little scary. Would that be a security threat?
That's what he said.
So I don't know. I don't know where the line would be on that. Like, remember the person who was tracking Taylor Swift's
plane? The same guy.
Yeah. Oh, it was the same guy. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that guy's clearly a weirdo and needs to be dealt with.
Well, he was saying,
yeah,
he was talking,
it's public.
About, It was public information.
And he was sharing it with everybody where his plane was.
Because they were saying that you say you're very environmentalist, but here you are with your private plane going from A to B.
Yeah, like anyone could go up and look up that information. It's all public. Whatever the licensing is on that plane, what they don't call it licensing.
It's the tail number.
Yeah, the tail number. You can go and track any flight that's going on. It's just that's public information when you're in the air. So you can do that for anyone, really. I'll tell you what people use it for successfully in a less creepy way. Like, let's say there's a big sports star that they don't know if they're going to go sign with another team. They check out the private jets and, okay, it looks like they just visited Buffalo. Well, that means something, right? Or political candidates. Like, when they're in election season, you're following the planes of different candidates. You're like, uh-oh, he's going to Indiana. I bet you he's going to go talk to Mike Pence. Like, they would do that for Trump, for example. So that type of information could sometimes be used by journalists. The one on Twitter, more of a menacing way of doing it, but still, it's public information. The age of censorship is kind of interesting because, like, let's say things went the other way and Kamala Harris was in the White House. I don't know if they would be taking the same stance. I think they would be going probably status quo. Like, Twitter would continue to do the things Twitter was doing, but you have Facebook probably wouldn't be doing an abrupt change of heart last second.
I agree. Do you really think Mark Zuckerberg pushed back as much as he said he did? I could see him maybe being like, I don't know. But for him to go on with Joe Rogan and say, like, yo, and we said no, I don't know if I really believe that he gave a big opposition to that when the Biden administration approached him about it. I feel like he kind of is the guy where if he's talking to somebody like Biden, I'm sure it wasn't actually Biden, but somebody high up in his administration, he's going to kind of go where the wind blows him. Like, he doesn't want to ruffle too many feathers. I could see Zuckerberg being that kind of guy.
Maybe. Right before the, I guess, of course, before the inauguration, because it hasn't happened yet, but we saw that Zuckerberg and some of these other tech companies spent with Donald Trump in Mar-a-Lago, and they pledged some money for, was it his presidential library? Or
either the library or the inauguration.
Inauguration was part of it, too. They raised a lot of money.
Pots.
Right. So you saw them already trying to make good. I wonder if this was part of the, hey, you better get off of this censorship garbage. Like, that was part of the ploy Donald Trump had with them. Like, if you want to be in good graces, you got to cut out the throttling and the censorship of conservative views, particularly when they are honest, right? We're not talking about squashing something that is, you know, libel or, you know, completely wrong. They're just going out there and squashing viewpoints that were true just because it was unflattering to a political party. And that's nothing. I mean, that's garbage. So maybe that was part of the deal. Like, hey, if you want to be in the good graces, you got to cut out this nonsense. And that's why they're making the about face. All right. When we come back, Kim on a Whim. Looking forward to that. I'm Ryan Recker filling in on 97.1 FM Talk.
Kim on a Whim.
Here's a question for you to think about this morning. How young would you say is too young to get a tattoo? Let's say the parents are on board with it and tell the kid, yep, you go ahead and get the tattoo. You find a tattoo artist who's willing to do it. What should the cutoff be? Because I would argue it should be still when you're an adult, 18. Come to find out, a 9-year-old girl goes to Arizona, doesn't even live in Arizona. In fact, from what I've seen, doesn't even live in the United States, but goes to Arizona and initially asked for a tattoo of Donald Trump on her neck. And the tattoo artist convinced her to do something a little more subtle, and that was an American flag that she got on her arm. Her parents okayed it. A 9-year-old girl, that is crazy to me. I don't know why any parents would allow someone so young to permanently put ink on themselves.
I'm looking at a picture of this flag that's on her left arm. And I got to say, the detail of the stars, like, there's actually detail in this.
But doesn't it look like what you wear on the, what you see on the old Navy shirts? Am I wrong in that description?
These parents are stupid. Why would they allow their kid to do this? Or maybe, do you think that they had some influence over the kid to, you know, get this? Like, they were trying to convince her and she didn't want to do it? Is that possible?
Oh, gosh. I hope not. Apparently, it's a family tradition, and that was one reason why she wanted to do it. It sounds like Arizona has basically no regulations when it comes to tattoo artists. You don't have to have a license to practice. It's one of the least regulated states for tattoo artists, and maybe that's why this family traveled there, knowing that it would be okayed.
Vacation tourism.
I guess the tattoo artist said he's received so much hate from this.
Yeah.
And I know we only have a couple minutes left, but I want to play the sound of these parents. The local TV station in Arizona covered this and went and got what we call man on the street, but went and interviewed people reacting to this 9-year-old getting a tattoo.
No way. No, that's crazy. I wouldn't let my daughter underage get any tattoo.
No, I don't agree. I think they should wait a while.
Meanwhile, this mom of three says,
I think if you let your teenagers do what they want, they slow it down on it quicker. If you tell them they can't, they're going to find a way and they're going to do it 3 times.
No. Do not listen to her parenting advice. That's terrible. You don't just let your kid snort cocaine because you're like, well, you know what? If I tell him no, he's going to do it anyway. So I might as well have him do it safely, quote unquote, safely, you know, under my roof. That way I can watch him and I can pull his keys. No, that's such a stupid answer. And how many of these parents, I wonder, who say this is unacceptable to have a 9-year-old get a tattoo, which I agree with again, but how many of those people would be totally fine with, say, a 9-year-old who says, hey, I actually feel like I'm a boy. Could I please have the surgery, the top surgery in this case, to be permanently looking like a boy? I mean, the hypocrisy, I'm sure, and I don't know their political beliefs, but how many of those people would probably be in that camp?
Yeah, I think about, you fast forward to the next time the kid's seeing a pediatrician, like, What? And the pediatrician looks at that and then looks at the parents like, "What? What is this? Like, could you imagine that confrontation?" But let me say this too. Tattoos hurt, don't they? Like, it's not, generally speaking, an easy thing. Like, for even for adults, it's not a pleasant feeling,
right? It depends
right?
on where you get them.
Yeah, but I'm sure all tattoos don't feel great. But you're right. Some areas would hurt a lot more.
So let me just say this. Is there a chance this 9-year-old was crying the whole time this tattoo artist was doing this and he continued anyway?
Oh, I hope not. I mean, who's to say that it was even her parents? I mean, I guess if it's a family tradition, I'd like to think it was actually her parents. But what, if this guy's willing to tattoo a 9-year-old, what would stop anybody from finding Scabby Joe in the alley and being like, "Hey, my dad over here says I can get a tattoo of a skull on my forehead. Okay."
You know, soon this girl's going to have endorsements from Death Water or Liquid Death or whatever.
Oh, gosh.
Liquid Death.
I do like Liquid Death, I'll admit it. But, you know, she's going to have some opportunities. I'm sure this guy's going to be flooded with business, too, because as much as you get negative, they'll be positive to it. All right. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show, 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.